is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Los Angeles Clippers announced today that starting point guard Chris Paul will undergo surgery to repair a torn ligament in his left thumb and miss 6 to 8 weeks in his recovery. Hey everyone, I'm your host Lucas Han. This is Locked On Clippers. And it's a bad news day. It is Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. We're here at the midpoint in the week, just after the midpoint in the Clippers season. And just when things were starting to look up, man, this is the most Clipper thing possible, really. There's, you know, maybe it was foolish to hope that there would be anything less Clippery go on than just when you're in the middle of a winning streak, just when you're about to get Blake Griffin back, that Chris Paul would go out for an extended period of time. That's just the clip. That's the Clippers curse. That's it right there. Somewhere, I mean, I'm not really a superstitious person. I don't believe in curses, and you know, I don't really believe in all that stuff. But it just seems like the amount of shit that this franchise goes through with injuries, man, it is unbelievable. And at the same time, it's so believable. It's just so Clippers, right? This is what it is to be the Clippers, is to miss your star players to injuries at the worst time. On a fluky play where Russell Westbrook is just trying to draw a foul, and Chris Paul's thumb just gets kind of jammed, and it's a torn ligament in his left thumb. He's going to have surgery and miss 6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks, 2 months with a sprained thumb. Now, the good news is, at least the silver lining, I don't know. Blake Griffin should be back soon. And that makes this at least tenable, because if Chris Paul and Blake Griffin had missed 6 weeks at the same time as each other, the team would have been doomed for that 6 week stretch. As it is now, they missed a few games that overlapped in December when Blake was out and Chris had his hamstring injury, and they'll probably both miss a few of the upcoming games before Blake returns from his knee surgery. But for the most part, for the majority of Chris's absence while he recovers from this torn ligament in his thumb, Blake Griffin should be on the floor. So that helps the Clippers. What doesn't help the Clippers is that Chris Paul probably helps you win more than Blake Griffin does, even if Blake Griffin is better or scores more when both of them are playing. Chris Paul probably helps you win more than Blake Griffin does as a standalone player. Raymond Felton and Austin Rivers are now going to be forced into kind of trading turns in the starting lineup. I think without Chris Paul, the Clippers are going to run into the same problem they were having before without Chris Paul, where there was just not a lot of creation on the floor. Raymond Felton can't create for a whole lineup. Austin Rivers can't create for a whole lineup, and so the offense is going to end up running through Blake. Heavily running through Blake Griffin. And the worst part about missing Chris Paul it hurts to miss Chris Paul's production, but what might hurt even more is how much J.J. Redick and DeAndre Jordan dip when they aren't playing with Chris Paul. Those guys are two of the... Redick might be the best complimentary shooter in the league, and DeAndre probably is the best complimentary rim diver in the league with that vertical spacing where he goes up and finishes lobs and he sucks in the defense. Those guys are great complimentary players. But without Chris Paul there, they don't have anything to compliment. I mean, sure, they play off of Raymond Felton. They play off of Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford, Blake Griffin, now that he's hopefully going to be back soon. But it's not the same. No one finds J.J. Redick in his whole career like Chris Paul has in the last few years. And no one finds centers on pick and rolls better than Chris Paul has in his career with Tyson Chandler and now DeAndre Jordan. It's a hit. It's like a... You know, I mentioned in yesterday's episode that somehow Chris leaving the game with an injury didn't seem too awful because the Clippers were able to win and we hadn't heard any bad news yet. So, you know, I'm in a good mood because of the win. It's easy to believe that things are going to be all right, or at least like, oh, we'll wait and see. There's no need to panic or be upset. Now you can panic and be upset because this is the gut punch. You know, Chris Paul leaving Game 4 against Portland with a hand injury sucked. And we were waiting with bated breath. But it was the next day when the announcement came that his hand was broken and he was done for the season. That was the gut punch. That was the can't sleep at night thinking about how an entire year was just wasted by a fluky play. Now, this gut punch isn't as bad because instead of playing all year and having a great year and being out for the playoffs, Chris Paul is going to play, you know, he's going to miss a big chunk of the regular season, but he will be back for the playoffs. I would be surprised if he ends up playing 60 games on the season, though. If he's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, he's played 36 so far. He probably won't play 60 games this year. And that's rough. Man, that's rough. And what hurts even more is that Houston keeps on dropping games. They just keep on, you know, they're opening the door for the Clippers. Houston lost last night. The Clippers are now only 2 games back because Houston lost to Miami. Clippers are only 2 losses behind Houston in the loss column. Only 2. And they have 2 head-to-head matchups left. It's in the 3 seed is 100% in play. The Clippers technically control their own destiny for the 3 seed. Although, they're obviously going to lose some games, but Houston's going to lose some more games too. The Clippers control their own destiny for the 3 seed on the same day that they find out Chris Paul is going to miss 2 months. It's like you control your own destiny, but not really. Yeah, you control your own destiny, but destiny is going to take Chris Paul away for the next 2 months. So good luck. And the Clippers' schedule is brutal coming up. Like 100% brutal from now through the beginning of March. They are not from now. They've got a few more easy games, and then the heat really turns up. So they play Minnesota tomorrow night, Thursday night, on TNT at Staples Center. That's a game that you have to win now because the other games are going to be so hard without Chris Paul. Then they go on a 5-game road trip, but it starts with Denver, Atlanta, Philly. Those aren't easy games, but again, those are games you should win. But those are just 3 of the first 10 of the next 11 games on the road. 2 games against Golden State, a back-to-back in Boston and in Toronto, game in Charlotte, a game in Utah. Then they come out of the All-Star break with a back-to-back at Golden State versus San Antonio. Got to play number 1 and number 2 in the West back-to-back. And then in March, they open with Houston, which is a huge game for seeding purposes if they want to take the 3 seed, a back-to-back at Milwaukee, at Chicago, then they host Boston, and then a back-to-back at Minnesota, at Memphis. That's 6 games in 9 days from Houston through Memphis in that stretch. March 1st to March 9th. 6 games in 9 days. Jeez. It's killer. It is killer for the Clippers. And these are, you know, this is a rough patch that you navigate if you've got the best captain in the league at the helm. If you've got Chris Paul running the show, you feel pretty good that you can beat teams like Boston. You can beat teams like Charlotte and Utah. You can win those games that you have to win at this point in the season. Without Chris Paul, a win at Utah without Chris Paul doesn't go from a tough game, but one you... If Chris Paul is playing, at Utah is a tough game, but it's a game you should win. If Chris Paul is out, a win at Utah is a good win. Utah's a good team. Beating them in Utah without Chris Paul is like a good win. It's exceeding expectations. You're probably supposed to lose that game. That's brutal. I just don't... It's just a gut... It's a gut punch from the Clippers to be scrapping so hard, to have won their last 7 games, to be looking ahead to potentially an 11-game winning streak going into that matchup against Golden State. And so you get to play Golden State, 11-game winning streak, Blake Griffin's back in the lineup, the Carmelo Anthony thing is getting really interesting, and now it's just dead, because it's hard to envision a world where Carmelo wants to come to the Clippers to not play with Chris Paul. The whole point of coming to the Clippers is to play with Chris Paul. Chris Paul's going to miss most of the season. That just makes him even less likely to want to come to LA. Now, if you haven't been following the story, there are some varying reports on Carmelo's meeting with the Knicks today. He had a meeting with the Knicks front office, and they talked about his future with the team. And according to some sources, it was a contentious meeting, much more, anger than in past meetings between the two parties. According to other sources, it was pretty calm, and Melo just said, I'm not waiving my no trade clause, so you can't trade me. But it definitely seems like the Knicks front office wants to move Melo at this point. They just can't until he agrees to waive his no trade clause. Would he waive it for the Clippers? Maybe if the Knicks do enough to try to push him out, he'll eventually get fed up. But it just, whatever margin it is, how he needs to get pushed X amount, and the Clippers, for him to be willing to come to the Clippers, well, the desirability of landing with the Clippers just went down because Chris Paul is out. So now you need the Knicks to push him even further for him to want to come here. And it's a shame because now the Clippers could really use him for the next 6 to 8 weeks before he would settle into his normal role as, the number three guy with Chris and Blake. The Clippers could use that offensive punch, especially because typically Jamal Crawford has really stepped up on offense when Chris or Blake goes out, but he doesn't seem to really have it this year. They could use another guy who can create offense and score 20 points in a given night. That's losing Chris Paul like that is awful. It's just completely wrecking the momentum that the Clippers were building for this season. Man, that is... I'm taken aback a little bit. I'm a little speechless. It's so unbelievable, but so predictable, and 6 to 8 weeks is longer than I thought would be the worst case scenario. I thought the worst case would be 3 to 6, just based on some stuff I did poking around, the fact that it's, quote unquote, only a sprain, but nope, 6 to 8 weeks. Clippers' only hope right now is to just get Blake Griffin back and for him to go on a roll like he did in the playoffs 2 years ago, where you're running the offense through him. And you can beat good... the Clippers beat a good Houston team in Houston running their offense through Blake Griffin with Chris Paul out with an injury in the second round 2 years ago. Blake Griffin can be the best player on a Clippers team that wins a lot of regular season games and beats good teams in the regular season. But he has to go into that mode. And when he goes into that mode, he tends to get hurt, which is why he doesn't play like that for 82 games a year. He lays back, he takes his pick-and-pop mid-range jump shots, and he saves himself, or does his best to save himself for the playoffs. Now, the Clippers might need that more aggressive Blake for the next 2 months so they can set themselves up well for the playoffs. And so, I think you have to let Blake loose. He has to not be playing conservatively. He has to play the next 6 to 8 weeks like a one-man wrecking crew, like you see how LeBron did for years when it was, instead of being an ensemble, like in the big three in Miami or now the big three in Cleveland, for a long time it was LeBron and his supporting cast. For Russell Westbrook right now, it's him and then his supporting cast. It's not an ensemble. Same with James Harden. It's Harden and the rest of the guys. Normally, Blake Griffin is part of that duo at the top. It's him and Chris Paul. Now it needs to be Blake and then everyone else. Blake needs to be, he needs to have his fingerprints on every game. And I think he needs to prove a lot of people wrong about the trajectory of his career, given his development, how he hasn't really turned into a number one guy. Maybe he can prove in this next 6 to 8 week stretch that he is a number one guy. Maybe. We'll have to see. I'm sorry that I don't have much of an episode today other than this injury news and just talking about how the Clippers go forward from it, but it's almost like there's nothing else worthy of talking about. Everything is insignificant compared to the fact that Chris Paul is going to be out for 2 months. So he's having the surgery on Wednesday. On today. Today's Wednesday, January 18th, is the surgery. 6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks puts him out until March. Man, that's just a long time. That's a long time to be without your best player. It would be, I guess, his return could range from March 1st to March 15th. So if he was back, he should be back at least for the Clippers, you know, their back stretch. If he comes back on March 15th, he'll get to play in 14 by my count. 14 more games if he comes back March 15th. That's plenty of time to get back in rhythm for the playoffs. Obviously, the earlier he comes back, the better, because it helps the Clippers win more basketball games. But we'll have to see. Come the beginning of March, when you're starting to consider putting him back on the floor, where do the Clippers sit in the standings? Because if the Clippers are in fifth place, you might as well just lose. Sit him, drop to 6 or 7, and avoid the Warriors in the second round. But if the Clippers are still in fourth place, you have to do everything in your power to try to move up to 3. I think with the way that the standings are shaping up, it's going to be hard for the Clippers to fall all the way down to 6. Right now, the Clippers have 14 losses. Memphis and Oklahoma City are tied for the 6th seed at 25 and 18. Clippers are a full 4 games ahead of them. And they just beat OKC by 22, which I think gives them the tiebreaker in that matchup. I don't think the Clippers in Oklahoma City play again. So it was just... Oh, no, they actually... They just played for the fourth time. It's 2-2, so it would go to the secondary tiebreaker. And then with Memphis, let me see. With Memphis, the Clippers are 2-1 right now, and they play one more time. So the Clippers could potentially end up with a tiebreaker over Oklahoma City and Memphis, although if you're trying to drop down, obviously you don't want that tiebreaker. So they'll have to see. I think the goal right now has to be win as many games as you can with Chris Paul out, because you're going to lose a lot of games without Chris Paul. So you don't have to worry about strategically tanking. You know, slipping in the standings should theoretically happen on its own. But you try to keep pace, and then when it comes time to start thinking about bringing Chris Paul back, you look. If you're still two losses or three losses behind Houston on March 1st, you bring Chris Paul back as soon as possible to try to make a push for the three seed. If you've dropped behind a team like Utah, and now you're in fifth place, and you're two losses ahead of Memphis and OKC, you try to drop further back. You try to drop behind one of those teams to get six and get, you know, avoid the Warriors in the second round, although I don't think Houston in the first round is a matchup that anyone's really dying for either. The Clippers really would like to play the Spurs in the first round and then the Spurs again in the second round. They just want to play the Spurs. The Clippers have the Spurs number. They struggle against everyone else. Okay, guys, I think that's it for today's episode. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is game day. The Clippers are taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll see what their resolve is like after losing Chris Paul, getting the news. We'll see what Blake Griffin's status is, if he can. I don't expect that he'll be back on the court tomorrow, but he should. Hopefully we'll get an update that he's at least getting ready to come back within the next week. So at some point during this stretch before the Golden State game on the 28th, hopefully Blake, if he can't come back tomorrow, will at least come back either Saturday, Monday, or Tuesday. Because then the Clippers have 3 days off in a row going into that Saturday, January 28th Golden State game. Listen, guys, if you own a company, if your business is interested in reaching men between ages 15 and 24, then you should be sponsoring this show. My audience is 97% men, 82% between the ages 18 and 24, and recent surveys have shown that consumers are more likely to buy products from people who advertise on their favorite podcasts. So, you know, you email me, lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. lhann.clipsnation@gmail.com. Our rates are reasonable. We can talk about, you know, what we can do to help drive business to your company. I'd love to work with you. You know, it would help me out with the podcast. Obviously, we're here daily, Monday through Friday, normally going about 20 to 30 minutes talking to Clippers fans. I'm hearing from them on Twitter, on my email, answering questions. You know, I'd love to work with you if you want to sponsor the podcast. All right, guys, that's it for today's episode. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.